In Exodus 12, and I want to speak quickly this evening about how to get a good start on the new year. How to get a good start on the new year. Look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household." The next couple of verses give some details about the selection of the Passover lamb. And then at verse 7, it says, "They are to take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they are to eat the Passover supper." Now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 13, if you would, and let's read the first couple of verses of that chapter. Exodus 13 and verse 1. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal.' Then Moses said to the people, 'Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month.'" Let's talk about how to get a good start on the new year. Would you pray quickly with me? Father, we thank you so much for this evening. And Father, we thank you for carrying us through 2010. Lord, not every part of the year was easy. Lord, it had its challenges. Lord, but we thank you that you've brought us through. And we thank you that we stand on the threshold of a new year full of hope and promise because of Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd come now and speak living words to us from your scriptures. In Jesus' name, if your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen. Beloved, I have a word from the Holy Spirit this evening, and the word from the Holy Spirit is this: you need to get positioned for what God wants to do for you in 2011. You need to get in position. The instructions here in Exodus 12 and 13 were all about helping God's people get in position for what the Holy Spirit was about to do in their midst. And the Lord is saying to us this evening that we need to get ourselves in position for what God wants to do. We need to get in position for signs and wonders and miracles. How many of you know that God is still in the miracle working business? How many of you know that his arm is not short, that his hand can still reach down into the affairs of men and women, and he can break in and change situations? God is not dead, he's alive. God is not far away, he is near to us. God has not lost any of his power. And the Holy Spirit wants to say to you tonight, get in position for the signs and wonders and miracles that God wants to do in your life in 2011. Get positioned for supernatural provision that God wants to pour on you. God was getting Israel in position that first Passover night to receive from the Egyptians all the gold and all the riches in Egypt. And the Holy Spirit says, get in position for the provision that God wants to release to you. Get in position for deliverance. Get in position to move on with God in 2011. I want to tell you something. The cloud of God's glory is moving on in this coming year. And I don't know about you, but I plan on moving on with it. We're going to stay in step with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be in position to move on with him. I call these chapters, Exodus chapter 12 and 13, I call them the New Year's chapters in the Bible. They contain God's instruction for celebrating the Passover, and in these passages, God tells his people how to get positioned for the first Passover and then to be positioned for every new year after that. You see, the Passover became the start of the new year. And I find in these verses, I find three words of instruction that are especially helpful to you and to me to help us to get positioned for a good start in the new year. So I need a volunteer to help me to discover what the first word of instruction is. Is there a young volunteer who can come help me to discover what the first word of instruction is? All right, I need somebody. All right, is that a Camacho? All right, I see a Camacho hand. Come help me, Gabby, if you would, please. All right, Gabby, reach into this bag here and tell me what you find in there. No, well, look this way. Let's look this way. What have you got? It's a photo album. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me many pounds ago. What do we use when we look through photo albums? What do we do?
We're looking at old memories.
We're looking at old memories. We use photo albums to remember people we love and good times, right? And that's the first instruction to get a good start on the new year. Remember God's goodness to you. Give her a big hand as she goes back to her seat. The first instruction to get a good start on the new year is to remember God's goodness to you. The key word for the Passover is remember. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember how he saved you. Remember what bondage he delivered you from. Remember what destruction he spared you from. Remember what he has brought you out of, and even better, what he has brought you into. Remember, remember, remember. We used to sing an old spiritual, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. The whole reason that God set up the Passover was so that his people would remember everything he did for them. And if you read through the Bible, you see how many times the events of the Exodus deliverance are recounted again and again in the books of Old Testament history, in the wisdom literature, in the Psalms, in the prophets, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, in the New Testament epistles, again and again and again, it is remembered what God has done. And I find it significant that God wanted his people to start out each new year with a meal of remembrance. You see, remembering what God has done for us has a powerful way of positively framing the way we see our circumstances today and the way we see our prospects tomorrow. And that's good preaching right there. See, when we remember what God has done for us yesterday, it helps us as we look at the challenges we're facing today, and it helps us as we look at the potential of our future. It reminds us that in spite of whatever challenges we may be facing today, we've come a long way, baby. It reminds us of his incredible mercy and favor that he's shown to us. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says, don't forget that you've been cleansed from your past sins. You know, some of us that are here in this room tonight would be dead if it wasn't for Jesus. Some of us might be in jail if it wasn't for Jesus. Some of us would be bound in addictions if it weren't for Jesus. There are people in this room who used to be alcoholics who aren't alcoholics anymore. There are people in this room who used to be hooked on drugs who aren't hooked on drugs anymore. There are people in this room that were in all kinds of messes that aren't in messes anymore because Jesus set them free. Remember what he's done for you, and it'll help you remember that he's a faithful, covenant-keeping God. Remember what he's done for you, and it'll help you remember that because he's helped you so far, that he'll be with you today, and he'll be with you every day of this new year. In just a few minutes, we're going to share a meal, a communion together. It's the Christian's meal of sacred remembrance. And as we do, I'm going to invite you this evening to just take a moment and remember what God has done for you. Remember the day he saved you. Remember the day he filled you with the precious Holy Spirit. Remember the moments of breakthrough in your life, the days of answered prayer. You know, maybe this weekend, the New Year's falls on a weekend, so you have Saturday and Sunday. Maybe you ought to take a moment and you ought to just write down a little book of remembrance of your own, of the things he's done for you so far. I remember when I was growing up in church, I had a friend named Chuck, and his mom, on the inside of her Bible, on the inside flyleaf on her Bible, front and back, she had made entry after entry of things God had done for her, moments that he had answered prayer or given breakthroughs or just done something wonderful for her. Maybe this weekend you ought to make your own book of remembrance and remember his goodness. There's a second instruction I find to get positioned for a good start on the new year, and I need another volunteer to help me. Who will help me out? I need a young volunteer to help me. Hands, where are the hands? All right, I see a hand right here. All right, come help me. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Ben, reach into that bag there and pull that out. All right, what have you got? What is that?
A
calendar. It's a calendar. All right. That reminds me of the second instruction for the new year. Reorganize your life around God. Give him a hand as he goes back to his seat. The second instruction to get a good start on the new year is to reorganize your life around God. You know, the day that the Lord saved Israel was such a huge event that he totally reorganized their lives around it. It became the first day of a new chapter in their lives. It became their January 1st. And the same thing is true for me and for you. The day Jesus came into your heart was the first day of the rest of your life. It became your spiritual birthday. And from now on, Jesus is the organizing principle of your life. He's first, and everything else in your life ought to revolve around that. In the New Year Passover instructions, in Exodus 13:2, once again we see the spiritual principle of firsts in the Scripture. God tells him in these New Year's instructions, he says, "Remember that the first belongs to me." Beloved, if you want to get a good start, if you want to be positioned in 2011 for what God wants to do for you, then give to God first. Give to God the first of your time every day in 2011. Take a moment every morning to give thanks to him. Take a moment to worship him. Get into his word and find strength for the new day. I love that verse that says, "The entrance of your word gives light." And I don't know about you, but I find the more I go on every day, I wake up, I need light more desperately than ever before. I feel a challenge from the Holy Spirit to give to you for this new year. I want to challenge you to perhaps add to your Bible reading one chapter of Proverbs every day for the new year. You know, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and there's 31 days in some of our months and 30 in others. And I want to challenge you to set a goal to read one chapter of Proverbs and one psalm every day in the new year. If you do that by the end of the year, when we stand here next December 31st, you will have read Proverbs 12 times, and you will have read the Psalms 2.5 times. And if you're not reading the Bible already, I want to challenge you to start there. If you already read the Bible every day, then I want to challenge you to consider adding that to what you're doing in your reading and just seeing what the Lord will do as you do that. But give God the first of your time. Give him the first of every day of the new year. Give him the first day of every week. You know, Sunday is the first day of the week. Give God the first of your time each week by getting up on Sunday and coming to worship him. Some of you worship here on Saturday evening. In the Hebrew mindset, Sunday begins at sundown on Saturday, so you're really giving the first of the time. All the other laggards that come Sunday morning are the Sunday's halfway over, according to the Hebrews. But seriously, listen to me, beloved. Get up on Sunday and go to church. You know, it grieves me when Sunday worship is a low priority for believers. And if it grieves me, imagine how much it grieves the Lord. Can I tell you, can I be a little in your face tonight and tell you, you belong in church on the Lord's day. You don't belong in a shopping mall on the Lord's day before you've worshiped Him. You don't belong on a baseball field or a soccer field or a hockey rink on the Lord's day until you've worshiped Him. You don't belong at a family reunion or a family birthday party on the Lord's day before you've worshiped Him. Tell your family, I love you, but I love Jesus, and I go to church Sunday morning. Set your birthday party for 2:00 Sunday afternoon. You don't belong on your boat or on the golf course or in your pool or on your patio. Ladies, you don't belong in your kitchen or your laundry room. Guys, you don't belong in your garage on the Lord's day before you've worshiped Him. Don't have a lackadaisical attitude about going to church, and don't teach that to your kids. You know, sometimes parents are heartbroken because their kids don't stay with the church when they grow up, and yet silently all along they were sending the message that church was really secondary in importance. Parents, listen to me. If you want your children to live long and prosper, if you want them to be successful and healthy, teach them to love Jesus first. Forget the tutors and the trainers. Teach them to become lovers of God, and the God that exalted Daniel to the highest place will exalt your children as well. Give God the first of your time. Reorganize your life around Him. Give God the first of your treasure. You know, when it comes to tithing, God doesn't only ask for 10%. God asks for our best. In economies where people bring livestock or produce, that's pretty easy to figure out. But when it comes to dollars, it's not so easy. If you have a pocket full of 20s, I find that every one of them spends about the same. And they don't go as far as they used to either. But it's hard to tell which 20 is better than the other. So I believe the way we can bring Him our best when it comes to dollars is to bring Him the first of our dollars. In fact, the tithe is called in the Bible the first fruits. And if you want to get a good start on your finances in 2011, give God the first of your treasure. I don't know what 2011 holds for the U.S. economy, but I know what it holds for your economy if you're faithful to the tithe. Because God's not a man that He should lie. Listen, if you want different results in 2011, do something different. Reorganize your life around Him, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, where you focus your energy, and you'll see a difference. Maybe before this weekend is over, you can find some time to sit down and think about your priorities and perhaps evaluate whether there's some things that you need to reprioritize. 3 instructions for the new year. Remember God's goodness to you. Secondly, reorganize your life around Him. And I need a volunteer to help me with the final thing. I have one last thing. I need one more volunteer. All right, I see somebody right there. Will you come and help me out? What's your name, sweetheart?
Chandler.
Okay, Chandler, grab that out of that bag and show us what you've got there. All right, what is it?
A blackboard.
It's a blackboard. Now, this usually hangs in our kitchen, and usually it's full of writing, but is there anything on it?
No.
No, it is a clean slate. And that is the third thing. If you want to get a good start on the new year, start with a clean slate. Give Chandler a hand while she goes back to her seat. If you want to get a good start on the new year, start with a clean slate. There are 2 things in these New Year's instructions that contribute to a clean slate. The first thing is the initiative of God's people to remove the leaven, the yeast, out of their lives. God tells His people here in these Passover, these New Year's instructions, He says, get rid of the yeast. He commands them to search their houses and to remove every trace of yeast. Yeast represents sin. God tells His people, you've got to go on a search and destroy mission. You've got to identify the yeast, the sin, and you've got to eradicate it. Beloved, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak on this New Year's evening. There are some things in our lives that have to go in 2011. There are some things that we just need to get rid of. There are some things in our homes that need to go. There are some things that pollute our bodies that need to go. There are some things that we need to repent of, turn away from, There are some things that we need to go to the Father and say, Father, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Remember many years ago, I had a friend who was stationed on the USS Nimitz, an aircraft carrier, and he told me about one New Year's Eve that they pulled into port in Italy, and none of the sailors were allowed off of the ship because in that particular town, they had a custom on New Year's Eve. They would throw all the old stuff out the windows, and apparently as they got drunker, the more and bigger the items that kept coming out of the windows, television and furniture and dishes and all kinds of things. And so they wouldn't let any of the sailors off the Nimitz because they were afraid that they, you know, might get killed by a falling television. But the principle's a good one. Out with the old and in with the new. And beloved, we need to invite the Holy Spirit, like David did, to come and to search us. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test my thoughts. Examine my ways. See if there's anything in me that needs to be removed and lead me in your path. The second thing that results in a clean slate is the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Passover Lamb brought a new beginning to the people of God. Freedom from bondage. Deliverance from the enemy. An end to toil and sorrow, and an open door to freedom and to a blessed future. Do you know the Passover is a picture of the cross? Jesus is God's Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Beloved, can I tell you that no matter how far you may have fallen short in 2010, you can start 2011 with a clean slate because of the blood of Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Can I tell you that what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you on this New Year's Eve is just what he did for his people on that first Passover? He wants to free you from bondage. He wants to deliver you from the enemy. He wants to put an end to toil and sorrow. And he wants to open the door to freedom and to a blessed 2011. All you need to do is apply the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, to the doorway of your heart by faith, by receiving what he did for you. Three instructions to get a good start on 2011. Position yourself. Get in position for what God wants to do. Remember his goodness. Reorganize your life around him. And repent. And start with a clean slate. I want to ask if you'd stand with me this evening. And I want to ask Pastor Dan to come in just a moment. We're going to share this Passover meal, this communion supper, this sacred supper of remembrance. But before we do, we're going to just spend a moment in the presence of the Lord. I'm wondering if we can pull the lights back just a little bit this evening. And we're going to worship and pray. And then we're going to prepare to receive communion. God bless you, everyone. Would you lift up your hands all over this place? Come on, lift up your hands all over this place. Let's just worship the Lord. Come on, offer Him the fruit of your lips. Come on, as this year, as the old year goes and the new year begins, would you just tell Him you love Him? Come on, remember all His goodness to you. Remember everything He's done for you. Come on, would you thank Him for saving you? Would you thank Him for rescuing you? Thank Him for answering prayer. Come on, remember. Come on, let your heart overflow in thanksgiving one more time for everything God has done. So far, He's helped us. So far, He's been with us. So far, He's been faithful. So far, He's been so good. Come on, thank Him for that. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for that. Now, would you just lift up your hands and give Him your heart? Come on, would you just give Him your heart? Just reorganize everything around Him. Just say, Jesus, You're first in my life. I put You first. You're first in 2011. You're first in this new year. You're first in my heart. I earnestly desire You, Lord. I earnestly desire to grow in You. Come on. Thank You, Lord. Now, would you just lift up your hands? And with the words of David, would you just ask Him, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test my thoughts. Examine my ways. See if there's anything that needs to go. Cleanse me. Jesus, I open my heart to You. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, worship Him, worship Him. Come on, worship Him. Come on, church, lift up your voice and worship Him. Come on, let's worship Him. Come on, let's love the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's give Him glory and honor and blessing and praise. Come on, if you have the gift of worshiping in other tongues, come on, just worship Him with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. We worship You. We worship You. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get in position. Get in position for what God's going to do. Get in position for His deliverance. Get in position for the outpouring of His provision. Get in position to move on with God. Come on, get in position. Get ready. Get ready. Move your heart into position. Move yourself into position. Some of you are moving out in 2011. Some of you are moving up in 2011. Some of you are moving on in 2011. Some of you have been stuck a long time under the enemy's thumb, but you're moving out to new places. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get in position. Get in position, says the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Come on, sing it once more. You're all I want, Jesus.
You're all I want. Oh, You're all I ever need. You're all I've ever needed. Oh, it was You. You're all I want. Help me know You are near.
Thank You, Jesus. Are you ready to receive the Lord's Supper this evening? Amen. We're going to ask those that are waiting on us if you would come to serve us. In just a moment, we're going to ask you to leave your seat, come down the center aisle, receive your communion emblems, and if you return to your seats using the side aisles, when everyone's been served, we're going to receive communion together. For moms and dads here who are wondering about your children participating, if your kids understand the meaning of the cross and what Jesus has done for us, we welcome your children to participate. If you're a believer in Jesus, we welcome you to share with us at this table this evening. Pastor Dan's going to lead us in worship while you come tonight. God bless you.
My chains are gone.